Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Second Act Actors. I'm your host, Dr. Jana McMorty, and I'm still a medical doctor simultaneously trying to pursue a career in acting. My guest this week is a fellow medical doctor trying to pursue a career in acting. My guest this week is Dr. Indy Saluja. Ugh, Indy. What a guy. We've been friends for a while. We are part of the small but very mighty Doctor Actors group. He is my third Doctor Actor on this show. I'm so excited for you to hear his story. He's an emergency room doctor here in, the great GTHA, greater, he's here in Ontario. He's in Canada. We're buddies. Again, like I said, I've known him for a while. He is absolutely fabulous. We talk about everything that has to do with medicine, medical training, the trauma that comes with medical training, and how we break down that emotional restraint that we need as doctors, the walls that we build up as doctors, because we see some horrific things. He especially sees horrific things in the emergency room. And then literally the next patient, he has to wipe that slate clean and be the friendly, happy doctor, or attempt to be, for a brand new patient every, 5 to 10 minutes. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited for you to hear a story. Please enjoy the incredible Dr. Indy Saluja. I was realizing you are now my third Doctor Actor I've talked to.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I heard a couple of them actually on your podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any ER doctors. I don't know if you had any ER doctors.
No, yeah, exactly. So yeah, tell me your story. How did you get into this acting crazy business from Emerge?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. So, I mean, I got into Emerge. Getting to Emerge is a whole story on its own. In the end, it ended being a great fit for me. I like the diversity of it, and I've always wanted to do something like science-y, right? There is an art to medicine, as you know, as a doctor, but there was always something kind of missing. People might be surprised to hear this, but as a doctor, you do put up walls. I mean, you have to survive in this profession because you see so many things, especially when we're frontline. As interesting and exciting as that is, you do see a lot of bad things or sad things. And you can't just carry that with you everywhere you go, especially even to the next patient you're seeing. You can't really bring that with you. So it's amazing after how long I've been in the ER doctor or how much I have put up with walls, because you are protecting yourself. And acting is the opposite. I mean, you're being vulnerable and you're breaking all those walls. So I found that actually extremely challenging. You asked what pushed me into it? Well, I do like pushing myself. I do like challenging myself, but I also love that art. I've always done things like that. Even when I was a physician, I always got into filmmaking. We produced some small little films and parodies. I always was interested in it. It just wasn't a realistic, I guess, career choice. I felt at the time. Now it's funny because I thought of all kinds of careers. I mean, something in the sciences. I thought of being an astronomer. I even almost studied kangaroo rats in California. Who knows what I would have done? I was walking in a science building. And I remember at McMaster, and I saw an MCAT sign. I'm like, interesting. I haven't really, I always thought of medicine and, being brown, and my parents always mentioned medicine. I'm glad they did, because I don't know if I would have really gone into it. That wasn't even in the back of my mind. And then I started volunteering in hospitals. I'm like, this is kind of interesting. There's a lot of rich experiences you have with patients and interaction with people. But again, getting into it and working as a physician now, you are missing that other side of things, being truly yourself. You are doing a bit of a performance for patients in some way. I mean, you are playing a role as a professional, as their advocate, as their support system. But that's different than taking on a character. you know, in the acting world. So I've always had an interest, I guess. I mean, I'll always remember, you know, when I was in grade school and then in high school, I always acted in plays. But I'll remember in grade school, I played the lion in Wizard of Oz. And I remember staring, this is like a core memory for me. Like, I remember staring at an audience member during a really funny part, and he looked at me, he gave me this big smile, and then all of a sudden the whole audience started just burst out laughing because I really tracked onto this guy for some reason. And I remember that feeling. I'm like, this is fun. You know, I find it really entertaining to entertain others. I really got a charge of that. So that's always kind of been there. But the other thing, Jen, this is a really long answer, but the other thing is...
No, I love it.
Great. Okay. I mean, I guess the other thing is that what draws me to acting is there's very few mediums or avenues where you can change the heart and mind of somebody in such a short period of time. I find it very powerful. And I just see this as a potential platform for me in the future. Hopefully, if I get traction or ability to do this or get a wider audience, to be able to, push stories or tell stories that other people have not heard before. I mean, it creates empathy in others. That's hard to do. You know, it's a funny example for me, but, you know, Blood Diamond may not be the greatest movie example, but it did impact me. I know that movie had its issues, but the performances were good. And Jimon Hounsou, played the father in this movie, took place in Sierra Leone, a lot of focus on child soldiers and the diamond industry. And just his love as a father for his son, who was captured and recruited into, fighting in the Civil War that was taking place in the 90s, it really hit me. And seeing the scenery in Africa. So how did that impact me? I went to Africa 3 months after that, after seeing that movie. That's a big thing, I think. That was a big decision to make. I wanted to see Africa. I wanted to, be with the people and volunteer. And then it also inspired me to think, I'd love to play a father. I'd love to do that. Being a father myself, maybe it's me, maybe it's my selection. I don't see very often this portrayal of these fathers and so, just the love they show to their kids. I don't know how often I see that. I know what happens. But I just don't see it that often. And I think, that's one way I'd love to express myself in film or television. He played a father again in Gran Turismo too. I'm like, you did it again to me. He just, I just loved those kind of roles. Anyway, it's one of those things that I feel is adding something else to my life I was missing. And I just find it such a powerful medium to tell stories. And just the impact you can have on audiences, I think, is unlike anything else.
Were you acting throughout your medical training? Like, was there an acting career kind of always simultaneously along with the medical training you were doing? Or did that start just recently?
Yeah, no, I didn't really do any formal training at all. As I mentioned, I did some stuff kind of on the side and, produced and directed these little shorts just for fun. But never anything on a professional basis. Really, I started actually doing background acting because I wanted to see what a set is like. What are these terms mean? What's an AD? what do they do? Why is there a first, second, and third? What do these guys do? And I didn't want to feel silly. And, you're like me probably in a lot of ways. You're a little type A kind of personality to get into medicine even in the first place. You have to have a little bit of that. You're maybe more than I am, but that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But I like to do my research and I like to understand what am I getting into. So I started with that well after medical school, well after I started working, because ER is one of those few, specialties where I can insert auditions and set time a little more easily. I can switch my shifts. I can decide how much I want to work. It is one of those things. I couldn't have a family practice and then just cancel all my patients. You know, my secretary would hate me. My patients would hate me. It's just too, you just didn't do that. Certainly you have a responsibility when you become a physician to your patients. But, you know, if I can just change my shift and it doesn't affect anybody, why not? So, you know, I was even able to switch for a movie I did a few years ago, take off 2 weeks because I could just switch my shifts. It's just one of those fun. Anyway, so I started in background, which led to some fun experiences, I'm sure we'll talk about. But that led me into really deciding, you know what, I do want to do this, but it's not easy. And I need to train. So I drove from Waterloo to Toronto, you know, several times a week for years, training at all the big studios to learn the craft. And, oh man, I remember my first classes. I'm like, wow, I don't know how to do this. This is really hard. I'm not present. I'm building. I'm putting up walls. I'm not even listening. It was insane. I'm like, this. You know, it's true. What they, you know, there's nothing easy, and it's just as hard as anything else. You have to put in the time. You can't just. You know, maybe some people can be a bit more natural with it, but even those people still have to put in some time and learn the industry and eventually get their auditions and hopefully book someday, something that changes their life and something that, you know, that launches them into a career where they can do this on a regular basis. It was a bit of a process. And then I finally signed on with my a current agent just about 4 years ago with Noble Capital. And that's where I would say I really started this kind of on a professional basis.
One of the things that you kind of mentioned that I want to just touch on, and you said it very briefly, that something was missing with just pursuing medicine, right? And I think as an aside, as somebody who literally empathizes with everything that you're saying, because I've done the same thing, you know, medicine is a career where the training is so life encompassing that you can only, like, you have to tunnel vision focus yourself on finishing your medical training, especially residency, where you're just, and I mean, and you did a Royal, did you do Royal College residency or did you do plus one and emerge?
I did a plus regardless, one and emerge. Yeah.
Regardless, it's all encompassing. Residency is like hell.
Oh yeah.
Like, what kind of clicked, or what did you notice was missing? What happened that said, "Oh my God, I can't just be a doctor."
Yeah, I it's interesting you mentioned the training. I mean, it was a bit traumatizing. And this trained before Paro rules, so I was on call 1 and 2. You know, so I would be up every two nights all night, and then you don't get to go home at 9 o'clock the next day. You stay all day. You know, they used to have a joke on surgery, like, what's the downside of being on 1 and 2 call? And that was, well, you miss half the cases. Like, really, you should be on call every day.
Oh, my God.
You know, it was that mentality, right?
The culture is so bad. Oh, yeah.
And I, you know, my 20s were spent training. I really didn't live other than in the hospital. And so I think a lot was missing. You know, it's hard to have a relationship. It's hard to have a social life. It's hard to be a human being during that time. But having said that, I mean, these were important experiences for me. I did have many, many rich experiences with patients. Of course.
Yes.
Wasn't by myself, awesome. Experiencing many, you know, when I look back, many rich, enriching experiences, many stories I'll never ever forget. And you bring that with you. That just becomes who you are, right? You know, what does Jimmy McGill say? You know, when he was taping his, whenever he taped something, he would always be like, gravitas, you need gravitas. And that he brought his experience, you know, into it just before he taped anything. And that's what you bring with you, as an actor. So I think those experiences did make me who I am today. And I'm not sure I would be the same actor if I started. There's always that There's always that stress in the back of your mind, right? It's like, I'm sure you felt this. I mean, I think you mentioned this in your podcast before where you're like, am I starting too late? Did I miss out on something? You know, not going to theater school and doing this first and that. And now, like, I've lost so much time. But you also bring, I think people who come out just directly from school are also missing some of that life experience, which, you know, a lot of these characters need to have that. It's hard to imagine all of it. So, I think just focusing so much, like you mentioned, being so ultra focused on one thing, that's what made me feel like, okay, well, what else is out there in life? And what my outlet, like anybody else who's stressed or is going through something in life, they'll listen to music, they'll read poetry, they'll read novels, they'll watch movies to distract themselves, to escape. And I'm like, this is what everyone goes to. This is important. I want to do this too, you know? Like I said before, it's part of my brain that I really wasn't using enough. And, you know, focusing on sciences and when you're training as a resident here, you're just reading medical textbooks like all the time. Like, that's all you're doing. I wanted something else. I wanted something more than that. And I felt like because of my interest, even as a child, you know, making movies in my garage, in my parents' garage, we put firecrackers, in my shirt. I remember my dad was like, there's holes in my sweater. I'm like, yeah, we lit firecrackers because I was getting shot in the scene. And he was like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, we just did this in the garage, you know, with this is going to date me, but with my Commodore 64 keyboard is, you know, my spaceship, computer system. And, you know, it's just, that was all, that kid in me was always there. I think when you're acting, you are kind of a kid in a lot of ways. You're taking on a persona, a role, and you're escaping your life with that too. You are kind of empathizing with someone else who's not you, and you're walking in their shoes as much as you can, and it takes away from your own life a little bit. And I find that fascinating. I find that very rewarding, and it's a breakthrough. Hey, getting auditions is stressful, but I also find it exciting. Like, don't you feel when you get an audition in your email, you're like, okay, let's get this. This is gonna be fun. Let's read this. Let's research. We all have different approaches. But you're, again, I think like me in a lot of these ways, you're going to put a lot of time into this and research it and look up everybody. And I find that very, a lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's funny how, like, you mentioned all the things that you bring in from your foundation, from the years leading into your acting career, from what you learned as a resident, the experiences. Yeah, what residency was literal hell for me, for everyone, the trauma. But I love that, the goodness that was there, the interactions with patients and with colleagues and stuff developed me into the person that I am today. Do you notice, are there any other similarities between your practice of medicine and now your craft of acting?
In Emerge, you're always getting thrown into new and stressful situations. Like, I can't say I'm ever bored. You know, one of the things that attracted me to Emerge was you never know what's going to come in. And there's that adrenaline rush, and then you got to adjust and think on the spot and then connect with a patient very quickly. You know, you have to have that connection, and you have to read that patient also very quickly. What kind of personality are they? Hey, is this a time for a little humor? Is this a time for seriousness? You have to gauge that incredibly quickly. And most importantly, you have to listen. You're going to get the diagnosis 80% of the time from the history. And if you're not listening, you're going to waste time or spend money on more tests that you may not need. What is acting? You're reacting. You're listening to the other person. And I think that's one of the biggest similarities. You're always, when you're on set or you're doing an audition, it's a new experience. where you're in a new location, new people, you're always meeting new people. And you often, all of a sudden, okay, this is my scene partner. I gotta connect with him. And we got to do this serious thing together. It's a serious thing. You know, this is a serious scene. Well, when I'm seeing someone in Emerge, I'm usually seeing people at a point in their life, at some very brief time, very important time in their life, usually. It's something fairly memorable for them. Not necessarily in a good way, necessarily, but it is something that has affected them. You know, it can even just be a broken ankle. People always remember when they broke their ankle, what happened. And when I went to the hospital, they did this and that, and they gave me this white stuff, and they put me to sleep, and they put it back. And, you know, people remember these stories, right? It is an important part of their life that they will always remember. So it's a crucial time, and it's an important time, and you have to remember that. And the same thing when you're doing a scene, this, you know, scenes aren't just, you know, every scene that's written there's a purpose to it, and there's an importance to it, story. And you have to have that connection with the other actor, and you have to be listening. I think that these are really big similarities between being an Emerge doc and being an actor. Of course, whenever I audition for a role as a doctor, it helps. It helps. I have no issues with the terminology. I know how to use the instruments, and you know, it's. I remember I was on a show with Keith Sutherland as a as a SSE, like a just when I was doing background. You know, I have experience in medicine, so you know, I was teaching the other actors how to use, you know, the instruments in the OR and stuff like that. So it does come in handy in those kinds of roles as well.
Totally. And I know I always put, or my agent always puts in the submission notes, if it's ever a doctor, well, I never audition for doctor roles, but like nurse or like ultrasound tech, it's always like, Janet McMorty is an actual real medical doctor.
I've been asked to do that even in my slates, right? Like they're like, you know, I've had them say like, look, we didn't ask for that, but like, put it in your slate. So then when we send it, they'll be like, oh, okay, cool. That's good. You know what? Maybe that is your edge to this. I mean, it is funny though, Janet. I don't know. You said you haven't, I'm surprised you haven't auditioned for many doctor roles, but it's a very different playing one. It's very interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know how to even describe but
yeah.
You were on, I mean, you helped him with Good Sam. I think you were kind of doing, but hand.
I was hand double, the surgical hand double.
Hand doubles, yeah. Anyway, I do find it's a bit of a different, because you're kind of, you're not really doing what you'd really, you know, what you'd actually do. You know, a lot of the procedures are modified. A lot of the interactions are really not necessarily how you talk. But you also understand why they're doing it. So it is funny. I mean, you think, oh, I'd be nailing all these auditions to be a doctor, but no, not necessarily. And you know, it's funny. Like even the auditions I get, like transplant, for example, I'm like, I never auditioned to watch.
Me either.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Like I don't know how.
Yeah.
Is it, and I've also had this controversy too, where people have asked, do you bring up that you're a doctor? And do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? You know, I'm not sure what the answer to that is. You know, is bringing up that you're a physician when you're in an audition for any reason, does that take them out of that? Oh, he's not a real actor. Or does that help? I maybe it depends on the audition. But I've had that question asked to me a few times. I'm like, that's very interesting. I don't actually know. And maybe it depends. Yeah. Maybe it's not always the same answer. But it definitely hasn't landed me every role I've auditioned for, right? Because usually back when I first started, I always mentioned it. Now I don't necessarily.
It's interesting, right? Because I think there's the initial, like if I take myself out of myself and if I try and look at it as a casting director or as a director and somebody says I'm a doctor, yeah, they'd be like, so how do you have time? And I'm sure you get asked this all the time. Oh, how do you have time to do that?
Yeah. And maybe that worries them.
And I think what's hard, right? Maybe it worries them, right? But you're like, do you not understand that I have the perfect epitome A+ type A time management skills because I'm a doctor? Are you questioning whether or not I can do this? Because I can do it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, 100%. But then it's also, are they wondering, okay, well, you have some training, but are you really, is this just a hobby? Is this, right? So then this plays, this I've thought about this more recently. I'm like, well, like I've really committed to this. I've cut back on my shifts. I've really spent a lot of time focusing on this. But yeah, I wonder how much that plays, you know, there's such competition in this that one little thing, yeah, okay, next, right? Like it doesn't take much probably to be like, yeah, you know what? He's making good money anyway. He's doing fine in life. And he probably doesn't have time for this. So let's just see the next one, right? Like I don't know how much that plays a role. Now I'm still getting auditions and stuff like that. So I don't really know you know, how much it does affect people, but maybe it does on some level. It's a hard question to answer. But it's interesting. Over time I've mentioned it less.
Yeah, me too. And here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping, well, one, as we always hope, which we know is never the case a lot of the time, that our talent speaks for itself. But also, I'm hopeful that as we gain more experience in this industry, we start to get to know the casting directors. They start to get to know us and they go, oh, yeah, and we hope also our agents advocate for us. And also we advocate for ourselves saying, yes, I am a doctor. Yes, I am a lawyer. Yes, I am a cop. Yes, I am a whatever. But, you know, they can do it because look at what they've already done. And we now know them really well and don't worry about it. In fact, this is a huge advantage to your production.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it would be seen as an advantage for sure. I think that trust certainly has to be there. I agree, Janet. I mean, the trust has to be there. And I think you just have to do a series of auditions for every casting directors. And then they'd be like, yeah, okay, this is consistent. You know, he keeps bringing it. Yeah, okay, I trust him now. You know what? Maybe we'll give him a chance on this bigger role now. And I think that goes for anybody. Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think I think that plays a role for everybody. I think everybody has to gain that trust from casting directors, no matter what they're about. You know, casting directors are smart people. They're not gonna necessarily use this against you. I think they would hopefully see whatever your experience is in life, because everyone's coming from something that
totally
okay. They're bringing this to the role, but you also have to bring your, you also have to have some skill.
Yeah,
how to act.
I'm also hopeful of, and I've said this a lot about, you know, the whole Survivor motto, like outwit, outplay, outlast. It's the outlast that's most important, right? I'm hopeful, like, the longer we stay in this industry, the longer we keep auditioning, the more people will realize, oh, if they thought of this as just a hobby or just a money-making scheme or just, like, I want to get famous fast, we would have quit years ago.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And I think when you're this committed, as we have been over the last several years, you know, I didn't go into this to get famous. I went into this to learn the craft and tell stories and take on characters, right? Like, I think they will start to see that. I agree. You know, we're in this for the long haul. Continue to commit. I just signed up for another class again, just because with the writer's strike and everything, I'm like, we haven't done as much in the last year or so. So yeah, continuing to learn is something that's very important. I think they see that. They see that dedication and know, okay, well, yeah, they don't want to just quickly just, you know, get a big role and think, oh, this is easy, and because it's not easy. I'm honestly very appreciative of the opportunities I've had. You know, these casting directors have certainly been open to diversity and that sort of thing. It's not also up to them in the end. Who gets cast in these roles is so many people involved, right? It's 20, 30 other people decided. And I know they are putting me forward for certain roles. Doesn't mean I'm getting them, But you know, I think they are starting to appreciate the fact that, yeah, I'm still around.
Still around. Yeah. Something you mentioned, and I every doctor actor I've spoken to, the other two and myself, have mentioned this and labeled it. We gave ourselves a diagnosis. When you talked about putting up walls as a physician, right?
Yeah.
The diagnosis being emotional restraint is one that my friend Dr. Decker, Francesca Decker, who's a public health doc down the state, that's what she labeled it as, right? And we have to, like you said, to survive, to avoid burnout, because if we invested emotional intelligence and just sympathy and empathy and all the feels into every single patient we'd see, I would have burnt out years ago. Tell me about what you've done that you found helpful to, like you said, break down those walls for acting, because you have to do the exact opposite when you're in a scene.
Still working on it. I'd say some of the things are, it's taken some time to be truly comfortable and vulnerable in front of other people. And that takes practice. That's where classes kind of came in. Is to have to, you know, my first actual class I took was at Pro Actors Lab, and it's scene study. And the way they did it was actually they taped it, and they would pause like on every expression. So we'd be like, okay, well, what were you thinking here and what were you doing here? I'm like, wow, this is really intense but important.
Huh.
I'm like, I've never watched myself like this. And then it forces you to explain that. And then sometimes I'd be like, I don't think I was thinking anything, right? I was so nervous. I was thinking of my lines. And they're like, yeah, that shows. And you're like, yeah, it does. You know, you don't have to be an actor to understand a good performance. You know when you see a good performance and when someone is present and telling their truth, right? You can tell. And so it's just taken time getting comfortable doing that in front of other people, being embarrassed and being okay with that. It is embarrassing a lot of times, actually acting and showing your emotions. So part of that has been, you know, I took some classes where you focus on breathing and focus on, you know, your body and that sort of thing, which I've never really taken before. That helped quite a bit, just being present in your body. And then really, it takes so much focus. I find if you focus on the other person and what they're saying, you forget about everything else around you. Because at the beginning, when I first was training, I was thinking, am I doing this right? Do people like my acting? Wait, what's my next line again? Okay, hurry up and finish your line so I can get to my line. Because I'm still type A, I have to get every word exact, which doesn't matter.
Yes.
Right? I'm like, oh, I said, you know, if instead of and, oh my God, I'm horrible. And then you start to realize, because part of this is I didn't know the industry. I didn't know anything.
No.
I learned from our actors.
Yeah. In our industry, if we say the wrong thing, people die.
Yeah. You have to be, yeah, like we're so type A about this stuff and so exact. And, you know, doing this has to be messy sometimes. So breaking out of what I'm used to doing has been a challenge. Part of it also is, you know, stuff I've just learned in classes, right? Like, okay, so imagine that person that you just met, you're doing a scene with, and it's a very important scene, is someone else. All the usual stuff that you learn in classes, just in different ways and in different terminology. You know, LB acting studio is very, you know, be a human being. Like, what is, you know, this is, it's so hard being a human being because we're all on autopilot, walking around, not paying attention, not absorbing what you're seeing. It's amazing. We all do this, right? All of us do. Everyone is protecting themselves. Not just doctors, everyone is. And, they focus on like, just be a human. Just listen to the person opposite you and leave everything else in your life behind. And that takes training, that takes time, that takes practice. And the way that works for you is different for me. It's one of those things that you just have to keep trying. Okay, well, I'm gonna think about this really sad thing that happened to me off the top of the scene, and maybe that'll come up later when we talk about the sad part of the, in the scene. You have to use your experiences in life as well. And when you're in the scene, you know it, because after you forgot what happened, and you can feel, yes, you know what? I was there. I forgot there were 10 people watching me in this class. So I think it's important to train in safe environments where you feel safe, where you understand. A lot of good teachers and coaches will explain at the very beginning, look, we're not judging anybody. This is a safe environment. Mess up here. This is the place to mess up. This is the place to experiment. This is the place to explore some of those emotions. We're not psychiatrists. We're not going to counsel you. Don't talk to us about your traumas and all that kind of stuff. Leave that in your own head. We don't know how you, we don't want to know why you got to where you are or how, but do what you need to do to get there, but in a safe way, right? That, this you can go down a rabbit hole in acting. It's a very, being mentally strong and keeping those compartments separate sometimes and not going too deep into some of the things that have really affected you in your life is a hard balance. And again, that's different for everybody how they do that.
So, I mean, you touched on how like being a doctor has influenced your acting. Have you noticed the opposite? Has your acting influenced your medical career?
Interesting. I mean, it's been a big demand on my time as opposed as for the job. So a lot of time management, 100%. So I've had to adjust shifts and that sort of thing. So that's just a very practical thing. That's that's how it's affected me practically, but and logistically. But in terms of my job itself, I think it's so funny. I have probably allowed myself to be a little bit more vulnerable sometimes. I don't know why I'm doing that, but I am. And just a little bit more. Because I have found the interactions, I've been more connected in some ways with people, and not to the point where, I'm taking on their pain fully, obviously. I find they're also feeling that. And they see you as more empathetic, and they see you as more caring. So I've brought a little bit of that. I feel like a little bit more when I talk to people. I'm finding I'm more interested in people's life stories. Now, time's an issue, in the emergency department. But if I get a chance when I'm getting set up with a suture tray or whatever it is, I may ask them, hey, what do you do? What do you do for a living? Or what's going on today? Or what, I'll ask them some questions, which I find it very interesting. Because what I'll do now, even more than usual, is I'll, as soon as you see somebody as a human being, you're making a bit of a judgment. Oh, I wonder if they're like this, or I wonder what their personality's like. Yes. And then you get into it, and I find that fascinating to see how close you were. We improv actors, they used to do like they would say, just look at you, this is your hit, right? Okay, you're a city person, you look rich or poor, you're whatever it was, just based on how you look. And that's how they said, this is probably what you're going to be kind of cast for, what you're going to be seen for. So I find I do that a bit more too.
One of the things that it's funny over the last week, for some reason, it just re week or two, I really clocked at what I have been doing, and I think it comes from my medical training, but also my acting training combined, is being an observer of people, because I think my medical training was really helpful with that, as you said, right? We can take a look at a person, how they move, how they speak, their history, observing them, their characteristics, and make these snap judgments, which when time is an issue is actually extremely helpful and is usually, a lot of times was quite correct. But being an observer of people as characters has been really interesting as well, like just kind of clocking how people move and stuff like that. Like I was thinking about, I was on a flight to, this was the flight to Sundance, and the flight attendant was just this character of a person, and I just watched her the whole time, how she moved. And I was like, I don't know if I ever really did that or clocked that I was doing that in my medical career. Obviously, we do it. But now being so aware of characters.
Yes.
It's being an observer of people. Because again, that's the empathy building, right?
Totally. And you think, and you also think, wow, this person would be a cool character in my script.
Exactly.
Okay, I can visualize this. This would be great. But yeah, it's not just, you know, my job. It's life.
Yes.
You know, I am certainly more observant. Just in line at Tim Hortons or something, you know, just watching who's there, how this person interacted at the cast register versus this person, completely different. Because everyone has a story. Everyone has a whole life story. Yeah. You have no idea what's going on with that person. That empathy certainly is more present there. You can't do it all the time. You can't feel everything, 24/7. You can't. But I do find I do that more.
Yeah. Has there been anything that has surprised you about the entertainment industry at all?
Yeah, the lack of feedback.
Oh, God. In medicine, that's all we get is feedback.
That's all we get.
Whether we want it or not, that's all we get.
Where feedback's forced. Like, it's constant.
Yes.
You know, it's completely opposite. I'm like, so many crickets, Janet. So many. I'm like,
yes.
What? I spent a week on this audition. I didn't hear anything. Is this normal? No, it's normal. If you don't hear anything, but how do you know? How long has gone by before you know they gave it to somebody else? Oh, you don't know that. It could be a month. It could be a couple of days. No idea. And I found that very hard to deal with. You get feedback in classes, of course, because that's what you're paying for. But when you're auditioning for something, and especially, some roles mean more to you than others. Roles you don't book hurt more than others. And those ones you're like, oh man, what happened? Did something happen? Nothing happened. But coming from our background, you're like, okay, someone needs to tell me what I did wrong. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's how we think.
Progress report.
Should I have studied more? It's a doctor in you that comes out. Did I not study hard enough for this? What was my grade on my audition? You can't grade art. Anyway, he keeps coming back because I've been a doctor for so long, and that's been the biggest part of my life really so far still, compared to my acting career. If I can call it a career. But it's one of those things where I found that a surprise. I actually didn't know that. When you do this on a professional level, these are things that people don't understand, even getting an audition. I don't think people understand how hard that is. They may get 600 to 800 submissions for a two-liner. And then, nowadays with self-tapes, they may see 50. Then they may submit 8 to 10, depending on the casting director. Some see less, some see more. Every casting director I hear says something slightly different, of course. But and then someone else decides who gets it. And I'm like, do people understand how hard it is even to get those roles? Like that's been a surprise. I didn't understand that before I went into this, at all. I didn't really appreciate that. Not that I thought I'd start booking right away, but it's surprising the lack of feedback. Now, people say, well, you get feedback indirectly. If they keep bringing you back, that means they like you. That means you're doing something right. But I want to know, okay, what part am I doing right? Right? Okay, great. Which audition did that casting director like and which one did she not like? It drives me nuts. That's been the biggest surprise. And honestly, it's something you just have to live with. This is how it is.
What do you do to get, I was like, you can't get over it, obviously. There's nothing to do. But for us, I think, when it's just such a stark contrast between the career that we are in medicine and acting, the complete opposite side of the feedback spectrum. How do you deal with that?
It's tough. I mean, I'd say, you know, you have to have a bit of a, you have to be mentally pretty strong and understand the system a little bit. That helps. I think the more I understood how things work and how decisions are made in terms of casting, helps a lot. Like I went to an ACTRA conference, and I remember there was Jason Knight was there. They were showing a bunch of auditions for the same role, different you know, actresses for this role, and they showed us how the casting process worked. And it was honestly eye-opening. Like, I was like, so the first actress that came up, I remember, fantastic, amazing job. Lines were perfect, did not stumble, great lighting, great wardrobe. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's, what else do you want to see? And then as you go through the other actresses, you're like, oh, okay, but that person... yeah, that person didn't really have their lines down and their lighting wasn't perfect, but wow, they really fit the character better. And I'm like, yeah, so it has nothing to do with the skills of that first one. Is the person right? And do I have the same opinion as the person next to me? Probably not.
Huh.
And then the person they went with, I'm like, yeah, that you knew within the first 15 seconds. Yeah, yeah, that's the right person. Huh. Nothing against the other actresses. They were fantastic, all of them, but in different ways.
Wow.
Just not right for this. So I felt that helped a little bit. Understanding, you know, how the system kind of works. Hearing other even big actors talk about this. Like, I think I posted recently a George Clooney talking about this. He's like, I had 100 auditions. I did not get a single booking. 100. And he's like, no one ever gave me a job. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, well, he's great. This is not just us. You know, and again, it's such a competitive industry. This is, you know, people who are in charge and paying their money for these productions. Yeah, you know what? They do get to decide who they want in their production.
Yeah.
Who am I to say, okay, well, you should pick me. You know, you mortgage your house for this movie. Oh, well, you know, you should pick someone you're uncomfortable with, you know, in your production, right? It doesn't make sense. Yes. So you have to understand what you're getting into and what it's about. I mean, and who the people are making these decisions. And you have to understand that it is a long game. You know, if you truly want to do this, you will book things at some point. You will, whether they're big or small, whatever. But you also, as you go through the industry, you also learn, and I've learned this and I've heard this so many times and I truly believe it now, that you can make your own stuff too. You know, if you're really in this to express yourself as an artist, nobody is stopping you from doing this. Right? Yeah, we hear gatekeepers and that sort of thing. Look, we have my iPhone 15 films in 4K. You know, if I really, that's necessarily the camera I'd use to film my movie, but you can. And like, okay, post it on the web. You know, whatever you want to do. I know it takes time. And I know there's always a little money involved. But there doesn't have to be a lot of money. And as you network with people, as you get to know people, as you go through, you can start to develop these things. I mean, you're a prime example of this, you know, your own production company. You are doing all kinds of amazing things and, you know, trying to, yeah, pitching shows. Like, yeah, look where you started. You're taking control, right? Like, you're like, okay, you know what? I can do this too.
Yes.
I will make my own stuff. I will create characters and write characters that are important to me, that mean something to me. I will tell stories that people have not heard that I want to tell. Mm-hmm. And nothing is stopping you from doing that. So I think those are the things. I mean, there's still roles that I have not booked that I still think about to this day, 100%. And that's just who I am. That's just who I am as a person. I don't know if there's a way to get to ever change that about me. That'll never change, I don't think, for certain things. I am certainly way better at forgetting about other some roles I didn't, whatever. And again, I'm like, okay, whatever, it doesn't matter. But there are certain ones you're like, oh man, you know what? I thought that was the one. I felt right. I've even had feedback from casting directors on like, you know what? You were great. But, right? Whatever, you know, it's like, okay, well, okay, you didn't cast me, whatever. but I don't know if that makes you feel better or worse, but I think it still makes you feel better. You know, yeah, some people want to know this. Yeah, some people don't, but I think it does make me feel better.
I think it does, and I think it depends on the person, right? Like, I think there are a lot of people who are innate creatives who are, and bless them, right? It's not me. It will never be me, no matter how much, like, mindfulness and meditation and Curtis Way and all that crap that I do. I will never be the person who can say, my art will speak for itself, and I will throw the audition out the window. No, I am an analytical scientist who will analyze this till the cows come home. And I love that about myself. Sorry, yes. I'm never going to be that person.
Why would you change?
And
that's who you
why
are.
Would I change? That's who I am. And it's just, that's what you get. And I think the biggest thing I wonder about is, and that I struggle with, is because, again, we come from the medical field where, again, we talked about how we get feedback all the time. Patients yell at us, admin yell at us, everyone yells at us and gives us feedback. As an aside, that's also made me very able to take constructive criticism, say from like acting coaches and stuff like that, where I remember having an acting coach being like, just to preface this, this may sound a little mean. And I was like, do you have any idea? Be mean. I've had old white surgeons scream in my face that I'm a useless piece of shit. Like, do you have any idea the trauma that medical residency is? Bring it on. This is acting. It's all fake. Go for it. I crave
and we want
it.
That data. We want that data.
We want the data. To know. Like, my therapist, I'm in therapy. I can handle it, right?
Yes.
The other thing that drives me insane. And about what you were saying about, oh, yes, the person who got the role wasn't the one with the perfect lighting, with the perfect wardrobe, who had the lines perfect. What drives me nuts about that is that, yes, that makes complete sense, but it means I have zero control on the outcome.
Yeah.
I can control things like my lighting, my word perfectness, even my talent, right? But the fact that I have zero control when I come from an industry where I must have all of the control.
Yeah. It's hard.
It's really, really hard to
relinquish. But that's why you're doing what you're doing now. You're taking that control, right? This is why you're like, okay, well, this lack of control is really bugging me and I need to do something about that. So
yeah,
this is what's driving you, right? You know, they always talk about as an actor, you know, pay attention to the stuff you can control, but there's so much that's out of your control. It's hard to ignore that. I agree. It's tough. And this is why you're doing what you're doing. You're going to create your own stuff. Because well, why can't you?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's funny, like I just got off, like right before we were chatting, I was chatting with our friend Nir, who is a social media influencer. And that was his piece of advice, being like, there is no barrier to entry right now. Yeah. You have your cell phone and you have social media. Put footage up there. He's like, if you don't like doing it, then don't. That's fine. He's like, but there's no excuse for saying, oh, I don't know. It's like, no, you can do it. You can do
make
it.
Make something. Like, write something. Make something. It's hard. It's hard. It's intimidating. So hard. You know, it's so funny when I wrote a short script and I sent it to a friend of mine, Joshua Demers. He's a producer director. And the first thing he said to me was, congratulations on writing your first script and finishing it. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, that is hard. He's a really great writer as well. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting point. That is, I guess, an accomplishment. Whether you make it or whether it's good doesn't matter. Just finishing. I mean, I don't know who said this. Someone said this recently, and was it you or somebody else that, or maybe a posted from Sundance that, you know, every film that's made is a miracle. There's so much involved in making that movie. Like, so many things have to go right. On top of everything that goes wrong, just to complete that movie. It's true. But you start with a short film. You know, short films is a great avenue to get into film festivals and network. It doesn't have to be long, like 7-8 minutes. I've read some of these festivals are accepting. That's doable in a weekend. You know, as long as the writing is there, don't you know, skip past good writing. And then plan, right? And get it done. I love editing myself. Once you get the footage, you can play with the editing, and it's a lot of fun. It's a creative, you know, outlet. I find it's a lot of fun, and get your friends to act in it. You know, if you don't have lots of budget, always treat your crew and actors well, though. At least give them food. You have to, you know, yes. Fine, don't pay me, but you know, I need to eat. I need to have bathroom facilities on site. I need to, you know, there's certain things you have to have.
Yes.
And there's lots of workshops, I think, out there where they talk about this. How do you make your first short film? And I think that you can watch it on whatever, YouTube, whatever, and learn about these things. But, you know, you don't have to make this epic feature film. There are lots of great ways to break in. And if your film gets selected as a 7-8 minute film that you maybe put a couple hundred bucks into, hey, you did something. You know?
Do you have anything that you are looking forward to coming up this year?
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, Reverse 1999 got released. So it's a anime gacha RPG type game. So it's great. I play a character named Shemaine, and the game has really taken off. It's very popular globally. Not as much in North America. It is picking up here, but mobile games are bigger in China and these other markets. You know, the company that created the game is located in Shanghai, and it's a fascinating game because it's such a diverse cast. This particular story takes place in India, so you have a lot of interesting characters. And it was fascinating to see it come out. I mean, the animation is incredible. People are just posting all kinds of little clips from the game. And there are lots of, you know, Facebook groups and Instagram groups that are really promoting the game with some cool fan art. And it's just been really amazing to see this game come out. So it just got released. So that's one of the biggest things that I think has happened for me recently. So we'll see. The auditions are starting again now that the writer's strike is over. So those are starting to come in again, and we'll have to see what happens with the rest of the year. As I said, I've taken a class, which I'm looking forward to, which is all about self-taping, which I think is interesting with Samora Smallwood. She's running this master's class that I signed up for. And so I'm looking forward to auditioning and learning more and writing more. And certainly working with the amazing people in this industry. I think I'm looking forward to all those. Hopefully 2024 is a great year, but like we keep saying over and over again, this is a long game. I'm looking 5 years, 10 years ahead, you know, forever. You can be an actor forever. So.
Yes, totally. Do you have any final words of wisdom or advice?
Oh, interesting. I mean, I'm a... My words of wisdom and advice may resonate with some people and not with others, but I can only speak from my experience, right? It's been a ride. I mean, getting into acting, it's been a lot of fun. People always say you have to know you want to do it, you know, to actually continue with it. I think there's certainly some truth to that, but I think I'd add a little wrinkle to that. Like, I think you should try it before you make that decision. It's very hard to decide. Yeah, I really want to do this for a long period of time and be okay with all the rejections, because you have to be okay with that mentally. and continue doing this. And I only figured that out by actually trying and going on real sets, you know. And I was background on a movie called Downsizing. Matt Damon was on that. It was so funny. I had zero lines, of course, because I was background. But Matt Damon kept laughing at me because I had this red turban, I had a pink jacket, I had this massive beer glass, and he was laughing because I wasn't really background. It's like I completely stood out. And I remember I did not blend in. And it was funny because the director was like, okay, anybody who we kind of is noticeable from the last scene, you should probably not be in this scene. And I remember looking up and he was on top of a staircase and he looked down at me, he's like, Indy. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Yep, I'm leaving. But it was stuff like that I'm like, this is really fun, but I want to do more. I want to try and get some lines now and actually take on an actual character, because this is interesting being on camera and seeing what I look like. So then I tried taking classes. So I think anybody who wants to get into this, you need to try. You need to do some things first before you can actually make that decision. And so take an actual professional class. Try it out, because this is what it is, right? This is, you have to maybe try an audition or two and see if, and then if you don't get that audition or whatever it is, how did you handle that? How did you, was it one of those things like, yeah, that hurt, but I love this so much, I need to keep doing it. I think you have to really try that first to decide, because my advice really is, you know, if you do want to do this, you have to really be committed. You have to take the time to do it. Don't expect overnight success. Get used to rejection and make sure you can handle it mentally. You know, I can't stress that part enough. It's not for everybody. It can be really hard sometimes. You know, there's a lot of pain you don't see on actors when they talk in terms of the rejection they've also experienced before they book that role they're talking about. And that's something that you have to be really strong and be okay with. And given that, the hardships that are involved and the time and commitment, can you do this financially as well? People say, oh, you have to give up everything else to do this. I'm not sure I completely agree with that. I think it'll be dedicated, it'll be committed, but you have to pay your bills, you have to eat, you have to support your family if you have a family to support. These are important things that I think you can't sacrifice everything in life for this. Yes, there are going to be sacrifices, 100%. You go into this industry, there are going to be sacrifices. Hey, I can't make that family event because I'm on hold for this, or whatever it is. It's stuff that sometimes your family and friends never understand fully. You might have to drop everything on in a heartbeat to go to an audition. These are hardships and hard choices you will have to make if you truly pursue this. So, you know, I feel you have to make an educated choice. But then, yeah, once you make that choice, commit, do whatever you can, make sure it's the right choice for you, but also don't be afraid to sometimes walk away from it, because you can always come back.
Thank you everyone for tuning in, and thank you Indy for being my guest this week. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, your busy doctor actor schedule, to share your story with me and my listeners. I'm so, so excited and thrilled for everything you're doing in this industry. I mean, not just the entertainment industry, in the medical industry as well too. I'm just so, so, so excited that we have met and we get to be in each other's orbits. You are just the coolest, coolest person. I hope you will all tune in next week for another episode of Second Act Actors. Bye.